Desire with the Lord's help to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it is come to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, and we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The Apostle Paul had a very tender love for the church in Thessalonica. And he writes this letter to them, as it were, I believe, on the run. Some background might be helpful to understand what he's speaking of here. And that background is found in Acts chapter 17. Where Apostle Paul first goes to Thessalonica and he preaches. And he opens and alleges that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and embraced this word of truth, this gospel message. But not very long afterwards, the Jews were stirred up, and they began to persecute Apostle Paul and the believers. It describes here that they stirred up some certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company. You can imagine if you would see the news today of people starting riots, intimidation. This is the same thing that was going on in Paul's day. And the church urged Apostle Paul to move on and to go. And so they went to Berea and then to Athens. And so that's the context for where Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore we could no longer forbear. We thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother." Apostle Paul wanted to know how the church was doing. He had poured out his heart and poured out the message of the gospel. He served them and loved them. And there was some growth. There was a tender plant that was starting there. And he had to leave. It wasn't very long that he had with them. You might say that that's less than ideal. And so he sent Timotheus. Timotheus comes back with the report. They love each other. They're holding the faith. And Apostle Paul, as he's continuing to be chased by these Jews, he looks up to heaven and thanks God that he could do these things for his Lord's sake, and that the Lord's word was bearing fruit. And there's a reason to live, and there's a purpose, and he's grateful, even though he can't be there. Even though he's far away, he's grateful for what the Lord is truly doing. And he's grateful that the Lord's word goes beyond prison doors and all the captivity that Apostle Paul suffered, and was able to have free course in hearts that are made free by Jesus Christ. And he prays for them. A beautiful prayer. A prayer full of love and of meaning. A prayer of yearning that a heart of a dad understands for his children. That's the way that Apostle Paul saw the Thessalonians. He said in the chapter before, in chapter 2, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." And so, perhaps with the Lord's help, as we would meditate on what the Lord would have for us to understand and to glean from this account, we could maybe take the lesson of how we are to relate to our families, brothers as dads, and to the family of God, for whom Christ has died. And that we can learn something from this servant of God, Apostle Paul. As he followed Christ, that we would also follow in this way. Because the first thing that I observe is that it's not an ideal situation. His time with them was short. And that is how our life is. It's not an ideal situation. And it's short. So that impresses on us the need to make this short time count. To bring something of value to the brief time that we can interact with one another. Life is short. The time with our children, to raise them, to guide them, is brief. The Apostle Paul talked about how he approached this very short time and how we can make an impression by God's grace as he would use us in our homes and in the family of God. He says in chapter 1 of Thessalonians, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Our brief time of making a connection with children, with one another. The example is not to do it in word only, but that it would be also in power and inspired by the Holy Ghost. Something of value that the Lord is doing, that the Lord is working. The beautiful fruit is that the church, those that were left in Thessalonica, they became the examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. It's a word that was shared as seed. It grew as a plant. It bore fruit, and the seed was passed on. It propagated. It was able to go forth. And so, there was a great desire between Apostle Paul and between the church in Thessalonica to see each other. There was a longing to be together. There could not be. And so make the days and the times and the opportunities to make meaningful connections that are led by the Spirit of God. Make sure to make that a part of daily life, is what I learned from Apostle Paul as I'm a student here with you, learning and seeking to grow, seeking to have that heart that was so enlightened by the flame of the love of God. Our days are short. We are to make them count. We are to fill them with the Word of God as inspired by the Holy Ghost. And the Lord will know what words are needed. Our wisdom is so, so poor. He will provide even in the very hour when our trust is fully upon Him. But make the connections. Take the time. Take opportunities to draw them in, to draw them with cords of love by the heart. As children grow, there are challenges that they need to face on their own. They need to be prepared. They need to be made ready and resilient. And sometimes life has a way of doing that, and sometimes training has a way of doing that. It's interesting when you read in Acts chapter 17 about Timotheus's progression. He was with Apostle Paul in Thessalonica, and then when they went to Berea, where the word was accepted and there was an open heart to hear it, he was with them again. But then Paul left and went to Athens alone. And Timotheus is in Berea, almost as if a training ground. In a place where the word was accepted and there was an open heart, he was there. But then he would be sent to a more difficult challenge. And that is how life is too. It seems like the phases of life, they come to us We feel that we've reached a certain level of capability, and then something completely new comes up. A way that we've never been challenged before. And we progress. We grow. It's needful. It's good for us. It's good for us not to abide as children, but to grow and to be men. And Apostle Paul saw Timotheus as his own son in the faith. But he was willing to send this man, this brother, this minister of God, a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, he was willing to send him someplace that was a little bit harder to go see how these believers were. It's important that we remember that we're aware that there are people that struggle far greater than you or I. It's mankind's tendency, and so easy, to get used to the things that we enjoy and the things that we have, and to be discontent. But it's important to not shield ourselves, our eyes, our children, that there are people who struggle much harder than us. And if our hearts can be touched with compassion, mercy, helpfulness, and the love of God, we would be touched to share from the blessing that God has given to us to help them. And so Apostle Paul is sending Timotheus, a beloved brother, his son in the faith, to go and to help somebody who had much more difficult struggle than perhaps himself. Apostle Paul warned the Thessalonians that these things would happen, that they would suffer tribulation. They saw it come to pass. And Apostle Paul's thinking about these things in verse 5. He could not wait, and he sent Timotheus, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. The tempter is at work. The tempter is luring. The tempter is enticing. The tempter is seeking to devour whoever he can. That was true then, and it's true today. Apostle Paul's concerned about it. He knows that the stakes are high, and he knows that the stakes are high. The cost is great. So he sends Timotheus. And Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. This news of the church's faith and charity made all of the sufferings worthwhile, made all of the hardship, made all of the sacrifice. It would be easily done over again from Apostle Paul's perspective. He would be glad for his Lord to continue. And I feel that we are the same. There is such a great blessing, such an encouragement when we are able to share in the work of the Lord as he uses one and all to express love, to show kindness, to offer forgiveness, to give mercy, to help and teach, to make a difference. When we see that, we're encouraged to continue in our own pathway as well. So many times we're reminded that there's evil influences in this world and there's lots of bad examples. And that's true. And they tend to cause a vicious cycle of sin and regret. But it's also true that in the family of God, when the work of God is taking place, that as that's going on, and as souls are yielding themselves to the Lord and making themselves available into God's service, and that they would see that it's important that they do so, it inspires, it uplifts, it makes the burden easier that we may have to carry, knowing that we are not alone, and makes it all the worthwhile. Apostle Paul sees it as great comfort. And he says, "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." It enlivens Apostle Paul. It encourages him when he sees those who have listened to the word stand fast in the Lord. But also part of Apostle Paul, part of his memory, part of the way that he served, the way that he followed his Lord, is actually alive in those who hear and follow. We are recipients of a great heritage in the Word of God and in believers who have gone before us. And we read of stories of faith and courage, and we are in awe. But that self-same spirit is at work. That self-same spirit is available. And Apostle Paul, he is joying to see that the Thessalonians took the word that they received and they sought to apply it to their situation in life. They were undergoing intense persecution. What does the faith look like under intense persecution? What does love look like under this kind of opposition? And Apostle Paul loved to see that there is a desire to take these truths and these principles and apply it to their situation. But we have a situation. We have an environment. We have a culture. We have influences and pressures that are pushing on us. What does it mean to live godly and to have faith in an affluent society? What does it mean to have faith in a life that, in a world that's full of digital noise? What does it mean to create things? And how would you use those tools in God's service? This is what faith and charity needs to be bringing fruits in. Perhaps it's a wise utilization of the things that we have at our disposal. And perhaps it's a wise rejection of the things that are available to us. We would love for our children and our families to prosper in every area of the life. But there are some areas of life that will demand a cost of our spiritual well-being. And so not progress in all things is not ideal. But if you stand fast in the Lord, that's of primary importance. Whether your life is filled with ease or comforts, or financial security. We are in a position today that we have to prioritize these things. We have to make a decision. As I think about those who've gone through far harder times than we endure, perhaps the options were more limited. The challenge to prioritize may be not as staggering, but it becomes something that we need to address, that we need to apply our hearts to wisdom to do. How does a man of God choose what he does and where he invests his life? Because it's short and we can't do everything. Well, Apostle Paul knew that that was the challenge for the Thessalonians. And so he spent his time, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. If he would have an opportunity to see them again, he would like to help them grow even more. Perhaps there would be correction that's needed. Perhaps there would be encouragement to that first love. But night and day he was praying for them. And the last few verses here in this chapter share with us the contents of that prayer. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. Apostle Paul, his work was in a sense done, at least for the time. He had planted the seed, but he knew that it was the Lord that was going to grant the increase. It was the Lord that was working and was faithful to complete that which was begun in these believers. And that is that they would abound and increase in love toward one another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Apostle Paul was truly convinced of the resurrection that was awaiting all those who truly believe in Jesus Christ. And he anticipated that all those who were alive and remain would be gathered with the Lord, and those that had passed on before will also join together. We joy in our get-togethers. We joy in the meals that we share with one another. But the hope and the goal, the expectation, is to be part of that gathering. To be found faithful when the Lord would return. To be established in our hearts unblameable in holiness before God. That the Spirit of God would testify with our spirits that we truly are the sons of God, part of his family. That great hope is given to us through Jesus Christ. It is made available to one and all while the day of grace is yet at hand. It is the Apostle Paul's prayer for each believer. It is our prayer for one another, that we would all be found faithful, that we'd all be ready, and that the Lord would be with us to comfort us and fill us with a life of meaning, of purpose, and joy in serving him. So may God bless his word as he has guided us how to have that heart of love toward our families and toward the church of God, and that we would also be a part of carrying the burden, doing our part, helping wherever we can and serving one another in love. Amen.